Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. Today's show has a title of How to Divorce an Abusive Husband and Heal with Rosemary Lombardi. But I want you to know, because I have many men who listen to my show for this kind of information, please don't tune us out, because you can reverse all this information and consider it how to divorce an abusive wife and heal. So please listen with an open mind. Divorcing an abusive man can be even more dangerous than the marriage. Once the divorce process begins, the woman faces the potential for escalation of the abuse, which may include destructive and outrageous behavior and verbal harassment, as well as maybe even violence. In this case, it's vital for her to have a framework for how to prepare to get out, take control of her life, and ensure she is taking necessary financial and legal steps. Breaking Bonds, How to Divorce an Abuser and Heal, a Survival Guide, written by today's special guest, financial advisor and candid abuse survivor, Rosemary Lombardi, provides a safe haven for women or men to refer to throughout the many phases of divorcing an abusive spouse. Rosemary will be discussing life-saving, life-changing topics. She is a financial advisor with over 35 years of experience. Although her professional expertise is in financial matters, her perspective on marital abuse, divorce, and recovery is deeply heartfelt and holistic. So let me introduce you to my special guest. This is going to be a great show. Good morning, Rosemary. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Randy, and good morning to your listeners, men and women. I really appreciate this opportunity to be of help.
Well, you are of help. Your book, Breaking Bonds, is an excellent, excellent tool, handbook, for anyone going through this process, because you're very specific with exactly what women or men need to do to get out of these relationships, and we're going to go over some of those particular things as we talk. So, tell us a little bit about your story. What prompted this book? What started this?
Well, I started journaling as a way to heal. It was very therapeutic for me when I was going through and after my divorce to write about what had happened to me. And I had realized through the divorce process and all the books I read that most of them are written by attorneys, and attorneys do not, in general, have professional training in investments. And a lot of abuse victims were making irrevocable financial decisions based on their advice alone. And even as a financial advisor, I got some very bad legal advice in my case, and I realized that I had to do my own research. So what I'm trying to do throughout the book is to get the victim out of the victim mentality and to take charge of their life and responsibility for the outcome of their divorce by making their own decisions, by doing a lot of research, by being realistic, by planning to leave, and all the pitfalls that that can happen. So I give not only some examples of what I did right and terrible mistakes that I made, but also of some of my clients, and I don't use any names, but even in cases where abuse is not present, financial abuse can and frequently does occur in divorce because the other party feels as if they're losing control. They may actually look at it as a fight to the death. They become very emotional, and I've seen people have their bank accounts drained as soon as their spouse became aware that a divorce filing was being made. So it's important to prepare, but I always use this caveat with people. If your partner is physically violent, it's really important to go ahead and get out. So you may not have the time to prepare, but there's nothing more important than your physical safety and the safety of your children. If you leave without the children, if you have them, it may be perceived as abandonment or that you're lying about the abuse. So I really try to emphasize with people, make sure that you don't leave without your children. So even if your partner tries to prevent you from leaving, call the police, but do not leave them behind because you could lose custody of them. And that would be devastating for them as well as for you.
And it happens so often. You know, as someone who specializes in narcissistic abuse, I deal with a lot of parental alienation issues. And it is a tragedy when this happens. So, you know, your advice is right on as far as this goes. And, you know, and something that I'm sure you say in the book and I've told people is that if you get out with your life, you've won because the intention of the abuser is to destroy you. So if you lose money in the process, if that's what has to happen to be safe, then so be it. And that also means – that also is when it comes to your mental health, same thing. You have to take care of yourself through this process.
Absolutely. And what I try to do in the book is to make – the reader aware of the pitfalls and what their abuser is likely to do in a divorce so they can take steps to protect themselves and minimize the damage. And I also mentioned there will be some financial damage because, you know, especially if you're dealing with a narcissist because they don't have a moral compass and they will pull all kinds of things. Financial abuse happens in well over 90% of abusive marriages. It's extremely common. So they may hide assets in financial statements, stonewall, destroy evidence. They may remove or destroy personal belongings or even photographs. They may cancel agreed-on appointments without notice. run up debts, bounce checks, fail to pay bills. They may even terminate health or life insurance policies. So it's important for her to take financial precautions and also to practice self-care, because abusers know their tactics work, and chances are they're going to step up the abuse during the divorce. And she needs to, or he needs to, they need to arm themselves to prepare for that, because it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It takes many, many months to get through a divorce. And this is the other thing that's not in most books on divorce. I try to give as many tips as I can on how to reduce stress, because your stress levels are going to be incredibly high, and to actually begin the healing process, because it's really, really important for abuse victims to take care of themselves. And they may be they may have been brainwashed into believing that they're worthless. There's a pattern of what I call learned helplessness, where their abuser actually convinces them that there's nothing that they can do, that they're incompetent. My abuser called me damaged goods, and I believed him for a while. Many victims frequently go back to their abusers because they feel they have no other recourse. But going to a shelter does reduce violence dramatically. They may go back to their abusers several times before they finally get out. But I think it's really important to start that process of rebuilding your self-esteem and believing that, you know, you do deserve to have a healthy and happy life, and your abuser is not going to change. You know, I always thought that if I just tried harder, that, you know, maybe he would be happy, but that's just not possible. And I wasn't responsible for his happiness anyway, only my own. So I really try to encourage people to take responsibility for their divorce outcome, do everything possible, and take responsibility for their own happiness, because that's incredibly important. I didn't realize until I was in my 50s that I was responsible even for my own thoughts. I had these negative thought loops that were going round and round, you know, because I had been brainwashed by my abuser, and it took me quite a few years to get them out of my head. But that's one of the things I address in the book, why positive affirmations work. You know, you've got to replace negative thoughts with positive ones, staying present instead of living in the past. It's difficult, but it's well worth it. You know, taking bubble baths was extremely important for me when I was going through the divorce. Little acts of self-care, even if you don't feel like it, make yourself do it, because, you know, sometimes the act of taking care of yourself will reinforce the idea that, you know, you really deserve to be happy just as much as anybody else. And some victims have just been beaten down so much that they don't think they deserve to be happy. And what I'm trying to do in the book is to encourage people to take responsibility for their happiness and get out. And it's so important to the children too, because they see how, you know, their parent is being treated, and they view that as normal. So they may grow up to become an abuser or victim themselves. And, you know, it's really up to parents to break that pattern and to show their children what healthy boundaries really are.
Well, you said a lot of really powerful things, and I agree with all of them. You know, when it comes to children, I have so many people say, well, they don't really know what's going on. I say, yes, they do. They absolutely do. It's embedded in them. And while we're talking about children, I wanted to address this, the point about telling children about what's going on, that, you know, that your spouse and their parent is abusing you. So this is a, there's a very fine line here, because we have to be careful not to bash the other parent, because that will come back and bite you if you do. So how do you suggest
a parent... That's exactly what I say in the book.
Yes, I know you do.
Yeah.
I know you do. You do say that. You say all these things, and these are why I'm bringing up these points. So how do you suggest a parent explain this to a child in a way that remains neutral?
Well, your children deserve to have a childhood, and chances are, you know, they know what's going on, and they're suffering from it as well. Even being an observer to an abuse is also being victimized when you really think about it. So being careful when you're talking about your spouse, and, you know, I would tell them as little as possible, but you may have to tell them so that you don't get manipulated out of custody, especially if the other parent has more assets and can try to buy their affection. So it's important to tell them that you don't feel safe with the other parent, and you don't feel safe leaving them with their parent, that the other parent did some bad things, not that he or she is a bad person, but that you no longer feel safe. And I would leave it at that. And, you know, they're still their father or mother, so they're going to love the other parent. And I think you have to be careful. The other thing that there are two other things that I mentioned in the book is do not overpromise, because trust is easily broken, and your financial situation may change after the divorce, and you may need to sit down and have a talk with your children about what is going on. And you don't want to worry them unnecessarily, but just tell them, my financial situation has changed. We're going to be making some changes. They may be temporary, they may be not, and how we spend money, and you may want to enlist them in doing some things like clipping coupons, or, you know, finding deals when they go to the grocery store with you. But do not overpromise. And then the other thing is do not lie. It's really, really important that they be able to have at least one stable parent who they can rely on and trust. So do not lie to them. Do not lie to your attorney. you need to make sure that you are as ethical as you possibly can be all the time, especially going through this process, because, you know, your attorney's not there to judge you. They're there to help you, and you don't want them to get blindsided if there was something that you should have told that person. So remember, none of us are perfect. I sometimes would react to my abusive spouse in a way that I'm not proud of. And I realized I wasn't going to be able to change no matter how much I begged, pleaded, tried to please. And occasionally I would get angry, and I would say things back, especially when he was being abusive. So don't expect yourself to be perfect. That's not your job. Your job is to be the best possible parent and example for your children that you possibly can.
Well said. I agree with all of that. You know, abuse is about control, and no abuser is going to just relinquish that control. So they hold it over you in any possible way that they can, and financial is one of the ones that, well, there's many ways, but it's always financial, because they're going to hold out and stall and just put you through the ringer. And Sometimes when I talk to women or men who are getting ready to go through this process, and they say, well, I have half the assets because, you know, that's what the law says in this state. That is not always reasonable, because sometimes that other person, the controlling parent, will hold it over you and torture you in the court systems trying to get that. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I had the same problem with my overworked attorney. You know, they attorneys will tend to put your case last, and they put the cases first where the clients are making the most noise. And, you know, especially for people who are not used to standing up for themselves, you're going to have to stand up for yourself with your attorney. And my spouse did not want a divorce. And after close to 2 years, I finally told the attorney, no more excuses. You schedule, you know, the mediation now. It's actually required in the state of Tennessee that we go through mediation. And I want you to schedule the court date shortly after that so that he knows that I mean business. And my attorney argued with me up one side and down the other, and I said, no. I said, I'm done. This is it. You schedule it now. And that's the only way that I was able to get the divorce. You know, especially if your attorney is very busy, you're going to have to really push for it. My ex did not even answer interrogatories. I mean, and I asked my attorney, you know, why isn't he being held in contempt of court? And for some reason, he wouldn't do it. A lot of times they will drain assets. I had one case where her attorney advised her not to notify the firm he worked for. He actually worked at another brokerage firm, not to notify them because he was draining the assets. And I told her, I said, you need to let all financial institutions know right away, as soon as you file for divorce, that no funds are to be withdrawn or changes made, that a divorce is underway without either a court order or that you both have to agree. And that goes for retirement accounts as well. So you send a letter in writing to all these financial institutions and let them know. Call the insurance companies, whether it's health or life insurance, to make sure that you're notified if there's a lapse in premium, that those policies are required to be kept in force, and your abuser may, out of spite, cancel them or try to cancel them. My ex set up a joint bank account online and proceeded to bounce checks. And, you know, I got an email from the bank demanding that I make payment, and, you know, we'd already been divorced. So I had to go into the bank with a copy of the divorce decree and tell them I'm not responsible, and they tried to hold me responsible because it was a joint account. And I said it was open without permission. And so they finally went after him. But there are a lot of things that can affect your credit. One of the things that I think is real important, especially for women who may have been out of the workforce for years, and, you know, they may not have any credit card in their name alone. They may not have a work history. You know, if you're unable to get credit based on your income alone, make an application before you file and get that card in just your name. And then, you know, it will be based on your joint income with your spouse. And then right after you file for divorce, close any joint credit cards that have a zero balance and freeze the jointly held cards. So you won't be able to close them out completely if they still have a balance, but at least you can prevent your spouse from adding a whole lot more debt on that credit card. And this may not be true in every state, but in my state, I was responsible for his debts through the date the divorce decree was signed. And even if it's in the divorce decree that he's responsible for debt, if it's a jointly held debt, the lender will come after you if you sign for it, if he doesn't pay. So it's really important to make sure that those loose ends are taken care of, and that you get that covered in your divorce agreement. You may have to take them to small claims. I had one case where he was actually an attorney. He was assigned a card. It was for a rich refrigerator in a home that he ended up keeping, but they both signed for the debt, and then he didn't pay it. And I told my client to go ahead and pay it off and take him to small claims court because it was going to affect her credit, and she did not take my advice, and it has affected her credit, and she's not able to currently buy a home in her own name because she's got bad credit now, which could have been avoided. So
this is great, Yanel, and I had an experience like that. So what happened to me was there I had I closed all the joint accounts, all the joint credit cards, and even all the little stores that I might have done it. But what I forgot was that I had purchased something at Sears and on credit jointly. And I didn't remember because I didn't have the card. And darned if he didn't go in there and charge it up because he was on that.
Yeah.
And the other thing, there were so many different ways that he was able to infiltrate my credit. And for 10 years, I had no credit. So I am right there with you on this. And yes, it's super important to protect yourself. I was burned very badly. So, yeah, I agree with that.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It was a long time ago.
Well, the other thing is it's not just financial abuse, but, you know, frequently abusers will drain the accounts once you file for divorce, not only to retaliate, but possibly to force you to drop the divorce petition because you don't have any money, or to force you to settle for unfavorable terms. So, you know, you don't want to drain those joint accounts completely and leave your spouse without any funds because that would be unethical. But take half, move them to an account in your name, and then as soon as you meet with your attorney, let them know why you did that. So they understand. Most attorneys do not know how to deal with an abuser.
No.
They just don't. And so you've got to arm yourself. One thing that I think is extremely important is to document the behavior, his behavior. Keep copies of incriminating emails, texts, social media posts, hospital records, witness statements, photographs of bruises, you know, or injuries that you have, recordings, videos of abuse, and keep it outside the home where he's not likely to find it. Because if you don't think he's snooping or she's snooping, believe me, they are. I didn't think mine was, but yep. I had no idea that that was being done for years. So, you know, making sure that you make copies of bank and financial statements, deeds, pay stubs, recent tax returns, insurance policies, store all of that somewhere safe outside the home.
Sometimes
he or she can find it.
Sometimes if the abuser is really sneaky, they will keep all those records of everything in their office away from home, and it's really, really difficult to get to them. And, you know, in these situations often they have the bank accounts, they control absolutely everything, and that's a really difficult situation. If you cannot get your hands on documents and you know, what do you do if this is the situation and you know that this person has lots of assets?
Right. You notify your attorney immediately that you don't have access to statements and that he's likely to hide or drain assets. You not only get the interrogatories filed, but, you know, if he does not answer them, you insist that he be held in contempt of court And you can get copies of tax returns. Like if you don't even have those, you can get copies of tax returns from the IRS. It takes a while, but you'll be able to track, you know, what their income is. And you can also subpoena, like if you know that, you know, you have a bank account at ABC Bank, and then, you know, you know that the pension is at XYZ company, you can actually subpoena those records. So even if he or she is not forthcoming, there are ways to get it. But you're going to have to really push and be aggressive about it, which, you know, many victims just aren't. But I encourage people to get mad. Like, most victims become extremely depressed because they internalize that anger on themselves instead of putting it where it belongs, which is on their abuser. And I'm not suggesting that people react, because it may not be safe to react. But what I am saying is use your anger to motivate you and propel you through the divorce. Use it to respond appropriately. You know, harness your anger to motivate you. You know, there's a righteousness of your cause you have there to protect yourself and your children. And I actually do use some war tactic terminology in the book, because your abuser is at war with you, and you know, the goal is to decimate you. and so you're going to have to prepare yourself for battle. And, you know, the ascendancy of your cause, you know, you want to make sure that you're crystal clear that you do everything ethically and by the book, and you know, you are doing what you can to fight for yourself. This may be the first time in your life that you actually have to fight for yourself, and it's a little scary, and for a lot of people, they don't realize that, yeah, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to become someone new, and change is a good thing, because your life's not working the way it is, so you're going to have to learn how to stick up for yourself, and it's actually a good thing, because, you know, you need to change yourself so that in the future, people don't walk on you. You know, don't be a doormat anymore like I was. You know, here, walk on me. Not anymore. So I had to change. And if you want to be happy, you know, you don't change the essence of who you are, but you realize that your needs and your rights are just as valuable as anyone else's. And, you know, the only person who's going to fight for you is you. And when are you going to stand up for yourself? Now's the time. So the divorce is definitely going to change you. And that's actually, I think, a good thing. For me, it made me question all my beliefs, you know, and I encourage people, reexamine, you know, why did you stay? For me, you know, my religious sensibility was part of it. It may be for a lot of people, you know, they don't want to have a failed marriage, or it could be that, you know, for me being a Catholic, you know, divorce is taboo. And I talk about that in the book. You know, I think God hates violence more than he hates divorce. And you're not possibly going to be your best self or be able to connect with God if you're miserable and abused and beaten. You know, that's not what God wants for you. I became a Reiki master. I explored some different things. For some people, they may end up staying at their same church or synagogue, wherever they go. It may be that they have a stronger connection, or maybe they find someplace else to land. But I think it's important to look at all the beliefs you have. Are they really yours, or do they belong to your grandparents? And do they serve you? Are they right, still working in your best interest or not? And it's not a bad thing to take a look at all of that and decide for yourself what you choose to believe. Not
right,
necessarily
I agree
what
with
you've
you.
Been taught, but what do
all,
you?
Yes,
right.
Yes, all good information. Yeah, I mean, it's time to take your power back. And
right.
the issue, and I know that as you're talking about this, this is what you're basically saying, is abusers don't abuse other abusers. They abuse nice, compliant people. And so when you're going through this, that has to go right out the window. No more nice and compliant. But I always, you know, not always, but I often hear people say, well, I want to be fair. And I say, no. No, this is not the time to be fair or nice or equitable. You fight for yourself. And that's what you're saying. It's so important to know that.
Absolutely.
Step out of your nice doormat role, because that's going to mess, you know, you're going to end up on the losing end of this if you don't.
Absolutely. But at the same time, I want people who are listening to be realistic, too. Chances are you're not going to get more than half. And in many states, inherited assets and gifts are not considered part of the marital estate. There are exceptions to that, however. If you signed a prenup, consult with your attorney to see what your rights are. But, you know, if you didn't, in most states, chances are you're not going to get more than half of the assets you can find. So it's important to do your homework and to make sure that you find out exactly what those assets are. It's also important not to drag out the divorce unnecessarily by being unrealistic, because that's going to just drive up your costs, and you know, especially the attorney's fees. And your attorney will let you do that, you know,
because they will.
They're interested to drag it out, not to knock attorneys, but a lot of them are overworked too. So you know, I think it's real important to stay angry through the divorce, and then when it's over, you don't need that anger anymore, and it's not good to keep it in your body. Let it go, and you're going to have to do that through forgiveness. And for me, my biggest issue was forgiving myself for having put up with it for so long. You know, I'm not a stupid person. I'm educated. I've got a great job. Why did I put up with that for so many years? Well, you know, I was brainwashed a little bit, and subjected to gaslighting, which is very common. You know, I didn't realize for years what a pathological liar he was, because I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Well, maybe he's just not remembering that. Well, maybe I'm just not remembering that. But he always reinvented the past to put himself in the best light, and it's crazy making. And, you know, you start to question your own judgment when you're being subjected to that. So, you know, it's important to trust yourself and trust your instincts. And if you think something is wrong, chances are it is. So, you know, we all have a basic sense of not only right and wrong, but something doesn't feel right. And, you know, in my case, my ex demanded that I send him quitclaim deeds after the divorce when he was unable to get bank financing which if I had sent him, I would have had my name stuck on the loans with no collateral. So, and I mentioned that in the book, and I just had a hunch, like, something's just not quite right here. And, you know, I also got a message, you know, from, you know, there was a hawk and I mentioned this in the book, there was a hawk in my front yard looking from side to side, and I knew that was a message that, hey, I need to pay attention. Because my street is really busy, and it was not normal to see it stay there for so long. And I just happened to see it, and I thought, same day I got the email, and I thought, okay, what's wrong? Something's up.
So I don't want to run out of time, and we're coming down to the end of the show. So your book, Breaking Bonds, I recommend this book for anyone who's going through this. You will get every step from soup to nuts on how to do this and how to take care of yourself, how to leave, what to bring, how to protect yourself. This book is really very comprehensive on this, a survivor guide, Breaking Bonds, How to Divorce an Abuser and Heal, written by our guest, Rosemary Lombardi. So, Rosemary, how do we get in touch with you, and how do we purchase your book?
Well, you can find it on Amazon. It's available in paperback and Kindle. It's also available, at Barnes & Noble. Nook, the Nook version is also available. I have a website, breakingbonds.com, which is a free resource for abused women. There are a lot of articles and also resources, free resources, emergency resources, financial and legal resources that you can use. You can also buy the book on that website as well.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, in the next 2 minutes that we have left, I just wanted to say, you use the quote of Carolyn Meese, whatever is in me is stronger than what is out there to defeat me. I love that quote. How would you like to leave us? What statement would you like to leave us with other than that? Because that's powerful.
Well, don't believe everything that you think. You are much stronger than you know. You are much smarter than you know. God loves you and wants you to be happy. It's really up to you to make the change that you need to see in your life. It's not up to anybody else. Nobody can walk this path but you, and there are important lessons that you will learn going through this process that will benefit you later on, and God bless.
That's perfect way to end, and great advice. There is so much more that we didn't get to address because, as I said, the book is super comprehensive, but if you're thinking about this, if you're pondering divorcing your abuser, narcissist, whatever, you want to read this book before you make any decisions. So thank you so much, Rosemary, for your advice and for writing this excellent, excellent book. It is wonderful. I do endorse it. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you
so
for
much
being
for
my guest
me.
Today. Yeah, thank you.
It's a real honor, so thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, have a wonderful day. I'm glad that you got through this, got out of this situation, and that you're now helping others. And that is one of the things that can empower you is healing so that, you know, and I'm talking to everyone who's listening, healing so that you can then help others going through it. Make something positive out of this. Learn and help others, because there are so many people that need to learn, going through this. So anyway, I thank you for being my guest. It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope you'll send me a link so I can put it out there on social media.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I will. Okay, as soon as we hang up.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Take care,
Rosemary.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh.
So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. I've actually taken the G out of my name, you may notice, but you can still, if you use the G, it'll still take you where you need to go. But I'm changing everything to Randy Fine. So anyway, wishing you joy and serenity in your life. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.